the Freedom Rides was to take the movement off of the college campuses, but into the heart of the Deep South. The Freedom Rides were very, very dangerous. We left Washington, D.C. on May 4th, 1961, the same year that President Barack Obama was born. And all along the way, we were met with violence, arrests, and jailing. The first violent incident occurred in Rock Hill, South Carolina, a little town near Charlotte, North Carolina, when my seatmate, a young white gentleman, the two of us tried to enter a so-called white waiting room. And we were attacked by a group of young men, beaten and left lying in a pool of blood. The riot continued through Georgia into Alabama between the city of Atlanta and the city of Birmingham. There was an attempt to burn the bus, but people were beaten. And the sponsor of the Freedom Ride, an organization called CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, made a decision to suspend the rides. Those traveling on the Trailway bus arrived in Birmingham. They were attacked, beaten, and left bloody. And they suspended the ride on the Trailway bus. I went back to Nashville, where I had started in the city, where I had been a student. And we organized a group of 10 students, 10 of us, on May 17, 1961, at 6:30 a.m., boarded a Greyhound bus in Nashville to travel to Birmingham, and from Birmingham to Montgomery, Montgomery to Jackson, Mississippi, on to New Orleans. We were stopped outside of Birmingham by the police commissioner, Bull Connor, taken downtown to the Greyhound bus station. And Commissioner Bull Connor allowed all of the regular riders, the regular passengers, to get off the bus. He saw our tickets that read from Nashville to Birmingham, Birmingham to Montgomery, Montgomery to Jackson. He forced all of us to stay on the bus. And after about 2.5 hours, he made a decision to place us in what he called protected custody. And we stayed that night, the Wednesday night, all day Thursday, Thursday night. And early that Friday morning, he came up to our jail cells and he said he was going to take us back to Nashville, back to our college campuses. And he dropped us off at the Alabama-Tennessee state line. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was Klan territory. But finally, a car came to pick us up. And they informed us that 11 other people had left by train to pick up the ride. And finally, with the help of Attorney General Robert Kennedy and the Department of Justice, we were able to leave Birmingham after staying in the Greyhound bus station all night to make it to Montgomery. And when we arrived in Montgomery, an angry mob met us at the Greyhound bus station. Beat us. I was hit in the head by a wooden crate, left bloody and unconscious. I thought I was going to die at the station. And finally, after 7 days in Montgomery, after there was an attempt to burn us in a church where we had a Freedom Ride rally, the Department of Justice tried to protect us. They conned out the United States Marshals. President Kennedy federalized the Alabama National Guard. And we finally was able to leave Montgomery and make it to Jackson, Mississippi. And when we arrived in Jackson at the Greyhound bus station, we all were arrested and taken to jail. During the summer of 1961, more than 300 students, college professors, lawyers, doctors, priests, rabbis, and nuns came. And by the end of the summer, almost 400 people were arrested, and they transferred us from the city jail to the county jail and from the county jail to the state penitentiary at Parchman, where we all stayed try to get out within 40 to 45 days in order to appeal our cases. But the Freedom Rides led to the desegregation of public transportation all across the South. Those signs that said white waiting, white men, white women, colored women came tumbling down.
Now, I remember when Barack Obama was first inaugurated, a lot of people of many colors throughout the country thought perhaps America had come to grips, reconciled with its slave past, and that race was something that we no longer had to worry about. In your opinion, Congressman, did Obama change the dynamic? Are you more hopeful today than perhaps you were in 1961 when you set out on your journey?
I am much more hopeful today than any time before. 1961 was a turning point. 1965 or 63, when Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech, when we marched on Washington 50 years ago, 48 years ago, when we marched from Selma to Montgomery for the right to vote. But I'm still much more hopeful. People ask me all the time whether the election of President Barack Obama is the fulfillment of Dr. King's dream. I said, no, it's just a down payment. You can be hopeful, you can be optimistic, but you can be realistic to know that we still have a distance to go. We still have miles to travel. We come so far, we've made so much progress, but we still have much progress to be made.
Do you recommend seeking political office as a route for effective change?
I would recommend and suggest to young people to find a way to make a contribution. And one of the ways of making a contribution is respond to the calling, to the trumpet call of public service. It's a noble way of bringing about change.
We see the barriers that once separated us many times by nationality, by race, by sexual preference. And you're going to be speaking to college graduates in the area. What are your hopes for their futures, advice that you would give them?
My advice to the graduates of Union College would be very simple. Find something that is so dear, so necessary, that you will be prepared to go out and put your body on the line. That you will speak up, that you will speak out, that you will find a way to get in the way. That you will not be satisfied, that you will be disturbed, and you will be what Dr. King used to call, was that you will be maladjusted to the problems until you make a contribution into solving some of the problems that confront all humankind.
I know you're going to get an honorary Doctor of Laws degree from Union College. What does that mean to you?
When I receive an honorary degree, a Doctor of Law from Union College, it would be symbolic of honoring a cause, honor a movement. I was only one participant, one of many, hundreds and thousands of people, young children, ministers, priests, rabbis, nuns, just ordinary people did all they could to bring about what I call a nonviolent revolution. And I would be standing for them. I would be standing for the people that participated in the sit-in, that went on the Freedom Rides, for those that marched, those that were beaten in jail, and even for some of those that we lost on the way, for some of those that gave a little blood and gave their very lives.
What's your opinion of the way Congress has been behaving in recent times? We've seen a lot of turmoil going on. We saw our president get on TV last night. He was so mad at the IRS. We've just had all these things happening that are souring a lot of people on government. Have you yourself been affected by this, or have you soured on Congress, on the entire process?
No, I would never become disappointed or frustrated or bitter or hostile toward a cause, toward a movement, toward government, toward an institution. I have to do my part. I have to play my little role in helping to bring about change. I'm not prepared to give up on government. I'm not prepared to give up on the Congress. I've said from time to time that it would be good if we can, if there was some way possible to have nonviolent workshops among members of the Congress, teaching people the way of peace, the way of love, the way of just getting along as one people, as one family, as what I like to call one house. We all live in the same house, the American house, or the world house. Each year with a group on Capitol Hill for the past 13 years, I've been taking members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, liberals, progressives, and conservative members, back to some of the historic civil rights landmarks, back to Birmingham, back to Montgomery, back to Selma, to walk across that bridge, to visit the church where the four girls were killed in Birmingham, to walk through the park where Bull Connor used the dogs and the fire hoses, to visit Dr. King, a church in Montgomery, where he preached many of his powerful sermons, or to go back to the spot where Rosa Parks was arrested in 1955.